Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast, your place for all things happiness. I'm Simona Costantini, host of the show, and I'm so excited and grateful to be on here with you today. In case we haven't met yet, I'm a corporate dropout turned life coach and podcast producer, and I now run a six-figure podcast production agency out of my home. The Happiness Happens podcast is your weekly dose of motivation and inspiration to have a more fulfilling day every day. I've been having conversations about happiness with thought leaders in the industry for more than 3 years, and each week I bring on incredible guests to understand what happiness means to them and tangible ways to transform our mindset and ultimately our lives. I know you're going to learn something valuable today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and join me for this amazing conversation. Today, we're talking all about how to build wealth with Whitney Hammond. Whitney Hammond is the principal of Sovereign Wealth Management and has been in personal practice since 1997. Whitney is a recognized leader in the Canadian financial planning field and a frequent speaker at events focusing on estate planning. With exceptional knowledge in wealth accumulation and preservation, Whitney coaches clients to build solid financial plans. In this episode, we talk about so many incredible facets when it comes to building wealth. We also talk about her nonprofit, the events that she runs, and how she supports women looking to build financial wealth within their own lives. We talk about the mindset behind wealth, and Whitney also shares some of her best tips that have helped her get from that unstuck place and into that more abundant mindset. I know you're going to love this episode, so let's get into it. Welcome, Whitney, to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on here today. We're going to have such a great conversation today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Simona. And we just met not too long ago by a mutual friend connecting us, and that's the best way, introductions of meeting each other.
It so is. And I loved our conversation so much that when we were chatting, I was like, you need to come on my podcast and share all of this wisdom with everybody else. And so we're going to dive into all of that. But my first question for you before we get started is, what does happiness mean to you?
Yeah, for me, happiness is all about balance and flow. And so I can tell you, I wasn't born that way. And I find that the older I get, the more wisdom I have. And I'm able to learn and grow and learn and grow. So happiness will change for people over time. Me personally, I'm the happiest when I'm giving and serving. I own a company where that's what I do, and with some intelligence, so I'm not just, you know, serving coffee. And I love to build wealth. I mean, I just love it. I'm just, you know, I'm really good at it. I've been building my wealth since I was, you know, a young child, and it just makes me really happy. And then I'm able to give because I've been able to create so much and you know, build my own wealth that I'm able to, you know, do my own charity work and non-for-profit. So I really like that. So, you know, those things enrichen our souls. So for anyone who feels that their soul isn't rich or they don't feel happy, you really got to get out of yourself, get out of the poor me's, and go and help another person. Because when we're busy in action, that's what creates happiness.
That is so great. I love this. And what I'm really excited to dive into with you today is this idea of wealth. I mean, like you just said, you've been building wealth for a long time. And I guess my one place that I want to start is not everyone feels like they're worthy of having that wealth, whatever it looks like to them. And there's a lot of, you know, taboo ideologies and things that we think about, stories that are ingrained in us from, you know, childhood that maybe have been passed down from parents or what have you, about what wealth should mean. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Okay, so worthiness is a big, big thing. And I think between male and females, we show it differently. So we're the same, you know, we have the same feelings. It's just how we show it. So the worthiness of a man comes out with all of the stuff that he builds and he scales and he gets all these toys and he does stuff, right? And women, we a lot of times don't feel that we are, that we're worthy, that we're even worthy to charge X amount of dollars per hour for whatever service it is that we're doing. That message that you're talking about comes back from really how we felt when we were growing up and the messages that we heard. So for example, for me, I heard, I mean, I can tell you, like, I was worthy of nothing when I was growing up. And that was just from an old message that I got from an older Eastern European father. I mean, back then, he didn't have me till he was in his mid-40s. Today, people do that all the time. Back then, I mean, I'm almost 60, so it's a different situation. But from where I came from, we were, with that thinking, that societal thinking and culture, is that I was, more of a vessel. You know, you're a woman to, you bear fruit for the men.
And literally
take care of the man. And I didn't see anything wrong with that, I can tell you, but I didn't score. Like, I didn't score. I tried. I actually got married 3 times. By the time I was 30, I was on my third marriage, and they were short marriages. So I got in there, and it was like, okay, bang, I'm going to do the baby factory, and I'm going to do the here's your slippers and all of that thing. And it's like, whew, that didn't work. It didn't work at all. And so what happens is we end up being held hostage. We're held hostage of our own thinking. We're held hostage of whatever messages we grew up with in the past. And it may or may not be what's the dynamics going on in your relationship. We really have to look at inside what is going on with us. So it's not about blame. We're all here to grow, live, change, share. And, nothing's perfect. We have to work at it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, isn't that the truth? And you know what's so interesting about you saying that? As you were saying that, my family is similar. My family's from Italy. I am not born there. I am born here. And so is my father. He's also born here. So we're second generation, I guess you would say. But there's still that small piece of you should take care of the family. You should do all of these different things. And I never aligned with that message ever. Actually, one of the first things I said to my husband before we even got married was, if you are looking for someone to cook and clean for you your entire life, you have picked the wrong girl. And he was like, okay. And I think I was 21 or something like that, or 22 when I had said that to him. And it's something that it just still rings true. And so what's interesting about, this conversation, when we're thinking about wealth, when we're thinking about past ideologies, when we're thinking about past stories and, past expectations of us, it's really interesting because they feel like, I know for myself for sure, and I'm feeling like it was a little bit for you too, this idea that, I can just go and create whatever it is that I want. I don't really need someone to tell me that I can and that I can't. You know what,
yes,
I mean?
Exactly. And I think too, so the feminine gene inside of us is that we're born and we're bred. It's inside of us to give, to serve. So we want to, I never want to lose that because I'm a woman and I rejoice in having that because that's what makes me the happiest. So do I love to bring a man his slippers and make him a meal and make him really happy? Absolutely. I mean, I think it's fabulous. The thing is that the world that we live in today doesn't allow us to do this anymore on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So we have to find those times where we can really serve because the man wants to serve us in his way and we really want to serve him in our way. So again, so in the happiness and the balance that I've come to realize in my life, it's no longer about what I think someone is expecting of me. It's more so about what I have been expecting of myself. And so I spent many years, decades ago, doing the blame game, right? Oh, it was so easy to blame. But I didn't know, it took time for me to realize and grow, to realize that, hey, wait a minute, did anyone ever really expect that of me? Or was that was what I was thinking that I had to deliver? And I took that anger and said, oh, I'm just going to bang, get into this male dominated industry, get in the pen and start competing with these guys, that's another story. We might get to it, but for anyone listening, oh my gosh, for a woman, draw inside of you and embrace those female qualities that you have. Do not fight. That's that inner fight of being, well, I'm not going to be cooking dinner every night. And because we don't want to do that, right? I mean, if we could do that, if we could be bewitched and twinkle our nose, but the thing is, we got a lot of things on the go right now. You know, that yes, that is instinctively inside of us. And I mean, I guess the males love to be taken care of and cooked for and stuff like that too. But unfortunately, we have to now come up with, okay, how do we please and excite each other in ways that we can do it amongst our busy careers, because men and women are both working now. So, and we have important roles.
Exactly. That's such a true point. And, you know, I think that a lot of, especially when I was younger, I know that like statement was very driven in like the rebellion side of like, no, like I want to like forge my own path. And like, of course I like to cook my husband dinner. Do you know what I mean? But like back then I was like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to subscribe to that label and this and that. But I think that that comes with, you know, self-growth. I think that comes with, you know, that inner awareness. And ultimately, I think that that inner awareness lends itself to so many different areas. And I want to talk specifically about what you do helping other women build wealth as well. And so how do you start? Like, where is the first place that you start with women when they're wanting to do that?
So, okay, so we've got two things going on. We've got the business that I own. I've been an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. I've been a hardcore entrepreneur for 35 years. And I also have a non-for-profit. So in my business, I don't start with beginners because I'm not at that level, but in my non-for-profit, that's where I engage, enhance, and teach women to, you know, to be able to build their own wealth, build their own identity, stay married, stay in your relationship, do everything you need to do, but to do these things, because we don't feel worthy. And if we don't do some of these things on our own, then we're not going to reach that feeling of worthiness. So where to start? I always say the place to start, and I'm telling you, this works. It's so simple, but it works, and you have to do it. As start, I have the bucket plan, right? Set yourself up some buckets, short-term savings, medium-term savings, and your dream bucket. And so let's just start with someone who's broke, okay? Get yourself a bucket, a bank account, whatever it is, and set up an automatic deposit of $25 a month. Skip paying a bill if you have to, but if you get that bucket going and you get that energy going, things will come to you. It'll blow your mind away. It's like, holy doodle. And I see this over and over and over again. It's, you know, how do people build wealth? They build it systematically over time. Okay. So there's no, I deal with high net worth people. Nobody can say, oh, well, you know, I just won a lottery. I don't have any of those clients, because they just spend their money, right? Or, oh, I just got an inheritance. You know, I also don't work with those clients either because they spend their money, right? People who have money started with the bucket system. I still have my paper route money. I still have my babysitting money. Okay. So people are too old to do that now. So yeah, well, I'm an investor. Invest.
True.
Invest your money. Do not live your life from paycheck to mouth to paycheck to mouth. Okay. I know it's expensive. I get it. I live on my own. I've been single for, you know, 22 years. I raised my children prior to that single. So I know what it's like to have to make ends meet, but I never, ever, ever stop the discipline of having money go into a bucket. And because of that, I hate this universal comment, but it's so true, is that when you get that energy going, it's like the universe opportunities just show up. Here I am at my age, I still have opportunities showing up all the time. It's like, holy smokes, I'm doing this. Oh my God, now I'm doing this. I'm the actor in the play. Stuff keeps just showing up. People say, how did you do all of this? I'm like, it just flies at me. So, but because I have a great mindset, I've got a great outlook, I'm worthy of these things, and I can create change in other people's lives. Start with a small $25 a month. Do not take it out. I don't care if you can't pay your Visa bill. I don't care if you can't pay your car repair. If you do not touch that money, you will see that more opportunities come up. When you touch the money is when you have another investment opportunity that will make you more money than what that bucket does, because you're going to reach a time where all of a sudden your investments are paying you more money than what you make going to work every day for 365 days a year, or whatever it is we work, 12 months a year.
Minus your vacations. No, I'm just kidding. That's amazing. Okay, I want to circle back to this piece of worthiness, and I want to touch on it specifically. I mean, you can think about it in whatever way makes sense to you, but I'm just trying to figure out, what were some of those like really critical mindset shifts that you needed to make either in the beginning or even when things got really hard throughout your journey? What are some tangible things that people could take away with them?
You know, I think for myself, it was always like a lifeline, right? Like I was always grabbing onto a lifeline. I was in survival mode. I had mentioned to you earlier that I ended up in a women's shelter at the age of about 28 years old. And I had two children at that time, 3 years old and 8 years old. So I would say that's one of the bottoms in your life when you end up in a situation like that. And, you know, so there was a moment of clarity that I had inside the Halton Women's Place. I had a moment of clarity that said, it screamed at me that I had to change, you know, it was me that had to change. And so, and through that, I got this message that I was going to help everybody that I could. So, and at that time it was women, every woman that I could, so that they never became financially held hostage. I was financially held hostage. Many of us are. I'm not saying it's an abusive situation. Mine happened to be an abusive situation, but it doesn't have to be an abusive situation. So so there was a big shift in my mind at that period of time. But if we go back to when I was a child growing up, it really goes back to when I was 2 years old, because I heard my mom and dad always screaming about money, you know. And I think that that's a common thing in households, is there's just always fights about money. And I remember when I was two, I said, I am going to become so rich that I am not going to ever have to listen to this crap in my life. And I knew, I knew at a young age, I had this vision. It was like, wow, I'm going to be managing massive amounts of money. And so here I walk through my life going like, where's the massive amounts of money? Like, you know, like I married my first husband thinking like, oh, it's going to be him. He's going to get the massive amounts of money. Well, yeah, like a year later, like this dude's going bankrupt and he's going to go nowhere in his life. And it's like, yeah, that wasn't the ticket out. You know, and through my journey, I have to tell you, the ticket out was 100% me, 100%. So there was no relying on anybody else. But just to let you know where I'm at today, I figured out where that was. I don't know how many years ago. I manage $220 million of assets. So I've got my own stuff going on, but I have $220 million of other people's assets. So I am managing massive amounts of money. And so at two, I had the vision. So for anybody, if you dig back inside, just go back inside and say, what was that dream that I had, right? And follow that dream. So I never gave up. And I can tell you, I'm the lotus in the mud. I went through so much mud and shit. It was so bad. I won't even take you through it, but I never lost focus. I made money. I invested money. I got ripped off fraudulently by somebody who I married, and he actually went to jail, never saw him again. So I had things happen. And that was a criminal charge, by the way. So when someone's criminally arrested, like your hands off, like you got a crown attorney and you just literally watch what's going on and answer questions. So I've been through all of that, but just to, you know, for anybody who's looking to find some advantage in their adversity, is that I had the tenacity from a young age, from two, to say, I am not going to put up with this shit. Now I had to change that verbiage, because when I was using that vocabulary, the universe says, okay, we'll just keep matching what you're feeling. Shit. And it's like, I'm not going to let that stick. I'm not going to let that stick. Anyways, now I don't know when it changed, but, I call in grace. I call in love. I want to give love. I want to receive love. I invite all women to, you know, step up and look down deep inside and find their zone of genius, because it's there and surround yourself with women like me who, you know, we're trailblazers. We want to help each other. We want to have a tribe where we're growing, where we're sharing, where we're tossing ideas back and forth. And we don't have to talk about the mud because we've all been through the mud. And it's the same thing I said to my children after all of that mess that we went through. I said, like, holy crap, we're still standing. And nothing worse could have happened than what happened to the three of us, really, because it's a big story. But I said, like, so we all know the bad. We get it, right? We get the stuff. But what can we find in the bad that's actually good? Because that's what's going to help us go forward. And this is talking to young children. And so that's what we did. We focused on a strong backbone, survival, forgiveness. Oh my gosh, forgiveness is a journey. It doesn't just happen in a day or a year. It may be something that happens over decades, because what it is that we all find a deeper feeling of forgiveness. So these are the things that really call into our life about what you asked me in the very first question is about happiness. Is happiness is really going through all these experiences in our life and being able to come through with some wisdom to say, hey, you know, like here's some ideas that can, you know, help me and help other people to, you know, see that life is not a bowl of cherries, and we can learn from experience. You know, like right now I got a horrible, as I told you, terminal diagnosis with a dog who I've only had for less than 4 years, who I absolutely adore. And I just say to God, like, I am so happy that I got to be her mom. And yes, I'm going to lose her any day. And right now she doesn't look like she's going to be gone. But it's that instead of, you know, poor me being angry, COVID had something to play with it, veterinarians being, yeah, you know, there's all of these stories,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's not going to stop the fact that this is what's going on, right? And so I'm very, very grateful that I had that opportunity and that I can gracefully help her move on when she's ready to move on, and know that I'll never forget that she was a piece not only in my life, but massively in my granddaughter's life. So,
aww, yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. So this is the thing. This is life. And, you know, we all have our trials and tribulations. And I think that's what's so great about us being able to connect and the whole From Wallet to Wealth movement. Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
The From Wallet to Wealth movement. I would love to hear more about it. I know our listeners will benefit so much from hearing about it. So
So here's just a brochure from 1 year. So what? So Wallet to Wealth. It's a couple of things you can see.
Oh, I love it. If you're not watching this on YouTube and you're listening to this on the podcast app, you can see what Whitney is holding up if you just join us on YouTube.
Yeah. So From Wallet to Wealth is a brand I created to speak to women. So it was born really from the women's shelter. And it was my daughter who really came to me one day and said, hey, you know, I'm going to call you out on something that you promised many years ago. And I promised to help women. And so when I got out of Halton Women's Place, which it wasn't long, I went and did all my licensing and started this new company over 25 years ago that I started this. So I was helping men and women and families, right? But then Wallet to Wealth is definitely just geared to women. So it's to engage, enhance, educate, inspire women to be all that they can be. So we put this community together, and so it was twofold. One was to have the community, and we have monthly events, and we have our annual gala. And at the annual gala, we're raising money for Halton Women's Place. So we've been able to raise over $100,000. So it's fabulous. And I'm not a fundraiser, so it's actually working.
That's amazing.
I know. So again, anyone who's coming up with an idea, I have to tell you, like, I didn't have any confidence, right? I was just like, I'm just the actor in the play. Okay, I'm going to go do this, right? How? I don't know. But if the why is big enough, the how is going to show up. And that has happened to me through my entire life. So don't get into analysis paralysis inside your head. How's this going to work? Forget it. Because if you have the idea of this is what I want to do. So I want to help women. I want to show these women that there are super women, right? So I have every November, we have women come, they're main stage speakers who share how they found advantage in their adversity. So what happened to them, how they overcame it, and you know, here's what's going on in their life. And it actually ends up being the why. A lot of times people don't realize it's like, oh, I thought this was my why. And they're like, holy crap, no, my why came from when I was like 2 years old, or it came from when I was this age or something. So we don't have that defined. And that's fine, because it's going to come out in your body language anyway. So the women's event has been fabulous. And we also do monthly events, because that was how we were starting the following way back. See, you know, because when I started 3 years ago, I didn't know there was such a thing as a Facebook group or monthly events or networking.
Right.
See, that's one thing I never did in my business. I never network, because my company is solely by referrals, and I have a steady stream every week. So it's busy. So it's really neat, because I'm able to quarterback all these women, coach them, cheer them on. We've created this incredible community where, I mean, so now when we're actually selling tickets now. Everything used to be, it was a free event, but now the tickets almost cover the cost of the dinner. It's still kind of like it is a free event. You just got to pay for part of your dinner, but we do them at the Burlington Golf Club. I'm sorry, the Millcroft Golf Club, not the Burlington. So the Millcroft Golf Club. And so they have a great room there, and we do a event every month. And it's, so you show up at 5 o'clock, there's a bar, we have a couple drinks, and then we have dinner at 6, speaker at 7. And then, you know, we get to mingle afterwards. And so it's really, and they sell out. So our next event is May 31st. So the tickets do sell out, and women are learning how to really network properly, not coming at you, but to build relationships. And that's one thing that I've done in my business, is that I build relationships and I build intergenerational relationships. And so anybody who owns a business or working on building a business, it's very important to know that it's 100% about relationships. So let's just take it down to, if you're selling somebody vitamins, there's a lot of stuff being peddled on the internet today. Everyone's got the best this and the best that. Whatever it is. So if you're selling something, don't just take the order every month, okay? I don't do that either. I service my clients. I know them. I know everything about them. We talk all the time. So that's what you need to do. So if you want to become successful, you have to build the relationship with the person who's buying your vitamin, right? To make sure, is it working? Are you getting it? What are you doing? All of that stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that will come from it, but then you're going to get a steady flow of referrals coming in. And that's what you want to do. But back to Wallet to Wealth, it's all about helping women to raise up and supporting them. And we just need that. We need our little girls club to talk to each other. So, yeah.
It's so true. And I'm in your community now, which is great. And it's so nice, because it's such a supportive group of people, a group of women that, you know, I think that we kind of miss that. I feel like even in this like sort of age of, could I say post-COVID life? I don't know. It depends where you are in the world. But when things are starting to get back to normal, I know for myself, I went from working, you know, full-time at a company to 100% by myself working from home, right? And so you even miss that like connection with other people. And so like you said, like that networking piece, like if you're not making an effort to go out and meet other people, your circle doesn't really grow, you know what I mean? You don't really get to meet other amazing people, and you never know how those relationships will foster in your life, right?
So true. Oh, we heal. I love that. We heal together. And we grow together. And as women, if you go back to, you know, historically, women were very tribal. Somewhere along the line, I don't know when it changed, but women got very competitive. If you think back to school, you know, and the first time you got betrayed by your friend, you know, you get these little friends when you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and somewhere along the line, betrayal starred, and, you know, emotional commentary starts, and judgment and stuff like that, and gossip, and it just leads from what. So women end up not trusting each other, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at guys, they play together, and that's what they do. They you know, they don't care. They'll show up, they'll play hockey, they'll, you know, because they're team builders. Guys are team builders. And so we wonder, like, why do they get to the top? Like, they used to copy our work in school. Like, girls are smart, you know, and guys were always like, they weren't paying attention. They were just having fun, and they weren't, you know, backstabbing each other or whatever it was, a couple of punches, and then they would move on, and they were teaming together. But if you watch guys, they scale. So like when you were playing with them, it was dump trucks and they were building this and they were building that. And so that's how they think. So if you get a guy on your team, they think about building, right? Women on your team, they think about serving. So, and that's fine. We need both. But for women, I'm trying to help them scale your business. Don't be the, you know, the person who has to be there to turn the crank, to spit the dollar bills out. There's ways to do that. I know how to do that. Anyone can tell me what they're doing in their business, and automatically I'm like, okay, I know how to scale this, right? Just like money. I know how to scale money. Like, you get things going and it starts rocking and rolling. You're like, holy crap. You know, I got this now, and I got this, and this made this, and this made this. And you know, then you get to a point where you're like, I got to manage all of this, right? Like, you know, I scaled my business. I got this coming in. Things are in the flow. And you're just always, always learning. And we really learn and grow in that community because we watch and we share. And so you're right. The Wallet to Wealth group is fabulous because the women are, they're really, really interacting with each other. It just keeps growing. We're at, I just checked the membership yesterday, last night. We're just under 1600 people. And so we were doing, when we got shut down during COVID, we were doing our events on Zoom, which worked really well. And our two galas, we ran them on Zoom, and they actually ran fabulously because we do music. Like, I hire a managed production team. And so it's really well done. I've never seen anything like it before. So when we run in November 10th is the next annual event. The jury's still out whether I'm going to do it in live or do it jointly. I still have to figure it out. November will be a time probably when we're in another wave. And, you know, I was one of the people that went 2 years and never caught COVID. And I'm telling you, I went to places like where they didn't have COVID shots, like vaccines, like Colombia. And I went over and I did, because I'm a pilot, so I can go wherever I feel like.
You just go.
Yeah, I don't have to wait to get on an Air Canada that's not running for 8 months. But so I went all over the place. And I mean, I never caught anything. I wasn't afraid or anything. And then what happened is towards the end of March, I was away and like, bang. I caught it and I ended up with it for 7 weeks, and I still have the after effects. And so I haven't healed. I got an upper chest, so I got it really nasty. So quite frankly, I don't want it again.
Oh, absolutely not. No, definitely not. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to have all of the links to all of this in the show notes. So awesome. To the event, to your group, to how people can connect with you. But I do have one more question for you before we wrap up today. And it's a question I've been asking almost for 3 years now, a little bit longer. And I never really get the same answer twice. So I'm curious what you're going to say. And the question is, how can someone create a little more happiness in their day, every day, starting today?
Well, for me, it's always get down on my hands and knees and pray for direction. Mm. And I always ask God, and this is not about Christianity either, but I always ask God to direct me so that I can help another person. And I've been doing that for 22 years. And I find that if I forget to do the prayer, my day is different. It really and truly is. So it's getting my mindset. It's always being set in others. Okay. And the reason why I'm others focused is that people who are self-focused, they live in a very small world. They're afraid of this. They won't get outside of their little box. So my advice to anybody, including myself, is to always be outside of me, looking at how I can help another person. And at nighttime when I go to sleep, I always pray, and I'm so grateful for the day, what happened. Again, I'm so grateful that I've had this rescue dog, my first one. Absolutely adore her. And I'm going to pray to God every night to thank him so much for the opportunity to care for her and to help me through her death. So, and that's what keeps me in a better spot every day. And I feel good. I mean, I don't feel like I don't feel like I'm clawing at things, because if I just stay with an attitude of gratitude, we could say that, oh, I could just answer your question. Well, have an attitude of gratitude. Well, there's no action. You got to have action.
Exactly.
So get down on your hands and knees and pray to God. And if you've never done a prayer before, you can pray to the energy that you just want to be there to help other people. You want to be a servant. You want to catch. You want to be available to do whatever it is that you're being led to do.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Whitney, for joining us on the podcast today.
You're welcome.
This was so much fun. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode. We will have all the links in the show notes so that you can check everything that Whitney does out. Thank you so much for being here today. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I learned so much, and I hope you did too. Be sure to tag me on social media so that I know that you're listening too. If you love what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It would mean the absolute world to me. See you on the next one, and until then, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.